Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Spencer Dilapidopidopasaurus Williams.
All right. Good job on pronouncing that, I guess.
I don't think it was right either. We're also joined by intern slash part-timer slash stenographer slash coffee bringer who brings no coffee, Amy.
I make coffee. I don't bring it.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice. All right. And because we got such a great conversation today, we also brought in the nerd aficionado himself, Tyler.
A T-Rex that works out is called a dinosaur.
I don't feel bad.
Good night, folks. We're ending the show.
Just mute his mic. It's fine.
Speaking of dinosaurs, we are going to be talking about the recently released long-standing franchise that has just dropped a new film, and that is Jurassic World Dominion. So stick around as we dive into that, get into the conversation, and give our thoughts on how this film fared. I mean, to be honest, it's on everybody's mouth right now, on everybody's tongue. Everybody's talking about it, so we can't wait. But before we do, Spencer, give them opening credits.
Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. We got over 300 episodes, allegedly, on our website at filmlosophers.com. Everything from...
allegedly?
Always going to be...
It's alleged.
It's allegedly until that secret 300, you know...
I don't know what anyone's talking about. Anyway, Eddie.
Ooh.
Yeah. Over 300 episodes, everything from romance to anime to action to comedy to discussions, everything you're looking for in terms of movie talk, we got it. Head on over to our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, you can find us on any platform, on any podcast streaming platform such as iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora. Tune in. You can tune in to each and every one of those places. Find us at The Filmlosophers. Give us a subscribe, listen in, give us a 5-star review. I think we've earned it. So. You can also check us out on the socials, which we'll give you those links at the end. Like we said, we're going to be talking about the new Jurassic World film, but before we do, we're going to hit you with a little bit of movie news. And at the top of that list, we have finally, not to, I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you kind of get the gist, but finally, you know, okay, whatever. Black Adam trailer has dropped. You're looking at me weird.
I mean, I expected more. It's The Rock. So.
I can't grab the mic and, you know, finally, you know, all that
you
kind
could.
Of
thing. You just did.
The most anticipated DC film so far outside of the mugshots of both Ezra Miller and Amber Heard. DC has finally dropped, and in good timing, the first full trailer for Black Adam. This has been a character that's been long talked about. Everybody has been in anticipation of seeing Dwayne The Rock Johnson enter the DC universe. Oh, I'm sorry, the DC extended universe, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand what makes it so extended.
Because some of their heroes are locked up.
You gotta wait till they get back out.
So it's actually DC incarcerated universe. But so the trailer is dropped, and let's just say DC needs this. Like, that trailer was pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. And it debuts a lot of great characters that we've seen in the TV shows, the TV series, but not necessarily in the films. We got a glimpse of, obviously, Black Adam, but we also get a glimpse of Hawkman. We get a glimpse of Captain Adam. No,
The Adam.
Dr. Fate. Not to mention other nameless individuals who are probably going to pop up here and there. We'll more than likely get a brief but distinct cameo of one Henry Cavill as the Man of Steel himself. This is one of those movies. This is one of those characters. Let's just go to a base level here. Black Adam is one of those characters that to be quite frank, in some of the comics, kind of seemed one-sided. He was kind of an anti-hero, but majority of the time, he was a villain.
Yep.
We are getting one of the most electrifying men in sports entertainment history, and one of the most entertaining performers on screen to play this particular character. And I hate to say this, but I would be more inclined to see the DC movies if this is kind of the route they're going, you know, because they've already, they struck gold with Jason Momoa, and he is probably one of the outlier more, I guess, consumable characters in the films. And now we're getting somebody like The Rock to come in. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I can't wait to see those kinds of interactions. I know, obviously, with Superman and Black Adam, those are going to be the one of the more expected ones, but Jason Momoa and Dwayne The Rock Johnson on screen together? Seriously. What do you guys think?
I'm hoping this is the beginning of DC realizing what they need to do with their movies. Because the Suicide Squad was great.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, like, and even Peacemaker, even though that's for like their streaming service, was still great too.
It was.
So like, they put two products out back to back that were good.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like promising that someone is like, okay, I think we got it. Like,
and so, in the midst of all that, Ezra Miller breaks into someone's house in Hawaii, and yeah.
Okay, well, I did not know that, but like,
see,
and I just knew he was doing something.
And that's where I'm kind of at with DC right now, because when it comes to their comic books, their animated movies or TV series, I've never really had too many issues with any of those things.
Yeah.
You, in fact, let me borrow a comic book that I fell in love with. It was the Batman. Was the
White Knight? Curse of the White Knight?
Curse of the White Knight.
Curse of the White Knight.
Or, no, it was the White Knight.
It's the White
one with the Joker.
Yes.
Oh, man, that is such a good story.
And I absolutely was not going to see the Suicide Squad. I had stuck my feet down. Mm-hmm. That was it. I was not going to see him. And then Spencer was like, "That's actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Check it out." And I was like, all right, I'll take a look. If Spencer kind of gave it some sort of seal of approval and then didn't understand what was going on, if there was a real story or plot line, I just had fun the entire time. Mm. And Peacemaker, and who was
Idris Elba?
Idris Elba's character?
He was Bloodsport.
Bloodsport, right?
Bloodsport, yeah.
Yeah, wrong.
Bloodshot.
Sorry, different guy.
I would just love to see an interaction between, like, a whole movie of just them going and killing people and sort of just kind of keeping count, like Gimli and Legolas, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where I am with them.
Yeah.
What about you, Ames? Since you're the local comic book expert for That We Can Afford.
At the bridge of my nose, I'm going to touch on.
Remember, That We Can Afford.
That We Can Afford, always. So I'm actually really excited about this movie, considering that Black Adam is consistently a massive big bad.
And a huge foil to Superman.
A foil to the Justice League, a foil to
Shazam.
Shazam, which I was kind of curious to see if there was going to be any interaction with him, because this is dropping before Shazam Fury of the Gods, which is supposed to be coming out a little bit after Avatar 2 in December. So we're kind of running up those two up against each other. And then really, I'm just excited for The Rock to have an opportunity to move past his Scorpion King shenanigans.
This is kind of what I'm also worried about, is that this will be another Scorpion King.
See, I'm not as worried as I should be, because he has grown as an actor exponentially. He's figured out not only where his niche is, but how he can surround himself with the best people who not only make him look good, but make him work harder and be better.
Well, I think, just to interject, I think it's actually a little bit more of a base thing for that. I don't think it's him getting better. I think it's him realizing he is a gosh darn good performer. Just him being himself, even in his role as The Rock on WWE, and realizing that he can just be him and just embody that character as him, instead of him trying to be the character and forget who he is, which is where that transition came when we started seeing him. Like, when he did The Scorpion King, bad choice for his direction. But then he did The Rundown, and in The Rundown, he was essentially The Rock the bounty hunter.
Was he a face or was he a heel at that point? You gotta. How much in the gimmick was he? You remember, it's Steve's is my podcasting buddy.
Talking acting.
Okay.
On screen. So it was him realizing he could just be a funny guy, be the guy who he normally is, and have fun with the role and not be so stringent to the character makeup, mm-hmm. like in The Scorpion King, where he had to be a classic, like, mythical type, you know, whatever in that time. In this one, he's just him. He's just having fun. He uses some of his wrestling moves in that movie. It's a great movie. I love The Rundown. And I feel like it's him just being himself and having fun.
But in juxtaposition, the expectation for Black Adam and for anybody that's doing a comic book adaptation in any way, shape, or form, there is some or mostly a good chunk of expectation that you will have or embody large parts of what's in the comic books. Jason Momoa kind of butted heads against that, but the comic books had started leaning more towards a Jason Momoa-esque type of Aquaman.
Because they realized that made Aquaman cooler, you know. Outside of Phil Lamar playing the, you know, Aquaman,
well,
there wasn't really a...
John DiMaggio also did Aquaman for a time as well.
Yeah, but he's Bender. He can't be Aquaman.
He was Aquaman. That's not my choice.
Bottom line for this, because I do agree, yeah, there has to be some sense of groundedness in the comic book, but this is The Rock here. I mean, he doesn't have an accent, thank God. He's not forcing that. He's not, like, it doesn't seem like he's so focused on destruction and mayhem like in other animated films.
True.
Or in certain comic books. And it looks like he's having fun in the role.
Okay, well, then we're having the wrong discussion here, because the issue doesn't seem to be about The Rock. Then it comes down to the writers of DC and how they're going to treat him.
Yeah,
absolutely. Which is the same concept for why the Suicide Squad worked so well, because, and it's confirmed, the studios took a hands-off approach, mm-hmm. and said, you know what, James Gunn, go do what you do best. You know, and then we'll
funny
go from
how
there.
We always get better movies every time the studio steps out of it.
Imagine that.
Maybe they're just the money backers now, and just stay away from the creativity of it all.
They'll stay away for a while, and then they'll
be back.
They'll be like, "Oh, well, everyone knows what we're doing, so we can have more control." And then it'll go downhill again. That's why I feel like it's coming from them.
Either way, I feel like this is going to be one of the films that we have to watch out for, and I think DC's studio hands-off approach, Tyler, I think that's a great way for them to move forward with this. So here's to hoping that by the time October 21st comes around, when it releases in theaters, we get something good.
Fingers crossed.
Switching over gears, we have the announcement of a Duke Nukem movie adaptation development.
That's a great one. That's going to be... Listen, let me tell you right now.
John Cena.
Absolutely, I'd go for John Cena, but
he
let me tell you right now.
The last one, this used to be in development like years ago, and Cena was attached to
the project. Of course, that's what happens with Duke Nukem. He stays in development forever, and then something comes out, and like when your children are old, in 2058, that's when this movie will release.
There is no way they can mess up a Duke Nukem movie.
Yes, they can.
All they have to do, nope. If as long as they put a ton of guns in the movie, very scantily dressed ladies of the night, and just a ton of aliens for Duke Nukem to kill, there's no way they can mess this up. If you're going by the video game, that's all they
Who
have to do.
Who goes by the video game and makes a lot of money?
That'll be the problem. That's my point. All they got to do is follow that simple Duke Nukem formula.
They're going to run into the next problem of them being sexist because of
yep.
they go straight yeah. up Duke Nukem.
Yeah, because to be quite frank, I have to agree. We are in an age where movies like that do not fly anymore, and doing it by the book is not going to be
Duke Nukem PC just basically takes the movie out of running for it even being made at all.
You'd have to switch change gears. Enough of it that like it's one of those squint and you notice it's Duke Nukem. You can make a good movie where you got like this badass guy and like he's really into guns and like kind of like shift him into like a Johnny Bravo type person.
Oh, Johnny Bravo.
Hey there, pretty mama.
Well, here's the thing.
That would be amazing as a live action, now that I think about it.
It is being developed by the Cobra Kai creators Josh Heald, John Hurwitz, and Hayden Schlossberg. That's literally his name, Schlossberg. And they're actually working with Legendary, which, if you guys are aware, with the studio Legendary, they're the ones who put out things like the Godzilla movies.
You mean Detective Pikachu?
Detective Pikachu.
Electric Boogaloo?
No. They also put out like Warcraft and stuff like that. So they have hands in video game adaptations. Warcraft was okay. But the thing is that when you're working with a property such as Duke Nukem, you're going to get people like, no offense, Tyler, but people like Tyler who are like, well, I'm a purist to the game and I want this and this and that, or it's not a Duke Nukem game. It's going to be interesting to see how they proceed with it. Even if they do decide to stay with the main character.
Real quick, I want to make it clear. That's not what I'm gunning for. I'm just assuming that you couldn't mess up. If there's a video game, you can't mess up. If it's going to be that black and white, you don't want to... You know, everybody's always so worried about the Sonic games becoming movies, Mortal Kombat becoming movies. Duke Nukem, very black and white character to me. Very
true, but then so was Doom. So was Doom, and they did an adaptation of that was not successful.
Yeah,
with Carl Urban and The Rock.
So again, was Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers.
The brothers had no personality.
R.I.P.
You guys are pointing out my point though. Here is that they try to add too much to it. Duke Nukem already has the action, the idea. You just go and kill aliens, and then you see these ladies as Duke Nukem.
But do you think that in a day and age where there are so many aliens that are being slaughtered, that people are going to go, if we just, like, somebody cut it on YouTube and said, like, I'm Duke Nukem, and it's basically spliced together, like, Independence Day and aliens, not alien, but aliens, and a couple of other, like, we're killing extraterrestrials, is there going to be any difference? Like, is there a market even for Duke Nukem to have space in this ever-shrinking
And this is exactly
space?
What I'm talking about right now is there's no way to mess up this movie, and in this day and age, has been pointed out at this table, there's no way to make this movie. I personally don't think this... So I guess, in conclusion, I'm agreeing with Spencer. This movie is not coming out. that's where I've come to.
Such a 180. I didn't even see it coming.
That was the longest scenic route to get back to the point at the very beginning.
Spencer's right. But I have to agree.
I don't feel like this movie's going to get made, or at least is going to get made to appease fans of the video game or video game adaptations. So here's, I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll do something else. Maybe they'll do a whole gender swap on the character. Maybe they'll do something to where they'll appease. I mean, you can have a female Duke Nukem and still have scantily clad ladies in the game. And
scantily clad men. Either way we shake that stick, they're all scantily clad.
Well, I'm just saying we're in an open world right now where anything is feasible, and you could have just, you know.
Sandbox.
Either way, the movie's been, there is an announcement for the movie adaptation being held by the Cobra Kai creator. So we'll be on the lookout for more information as time comes. But we're not holding our breath.
Which is sometimes. Yep.
But no. So this actually helps us transition, not really, to our main topic of the evening, as going from misogynistic alien killers to dinosaurs, and that is our take on Jurassic World Dominion. This movie has been talked about as the crown jewel, if you will, for the franchise. It's been one of those things. It's been talked about prior to seeing it. And Amy's making a face like she just ate something bad.
It was stank.
Yeah, it was.
We have not gotten there yet.
My face was a stank face. I gave the face of much stank. The crown jewel.
Okay.
Proceed, sir.
Lord above. Spencer, we got to start vetting these interns. So this movie has been talked about pretty much all around. There's been tons of press for it, including several friends of ours of the show who have actually come out and did interviews with the cast and the directors. And so this movie has been pretty much plastered everywhere in terms of, you know, marketing and in terms of promotion. And so we finally got a chance to check out this movie Spencer being, well, both of us actually, all of us here, I think, at this table, all being longtime fans of the franchise itself. And so we're going to dive right in. But before we do, Spencer, why don't you give us that official synopsis goodness?
4 years after Isla Nublar has been destroyed, dinosaurs now live and hunt alongside humans all over the world. This fragile balance will reshape the future and determine once and for all whether human beings are to remain the apex predators on a planet they now share with history's most fearsome creatures.
That's right. Directed by Colin Trevorrow, the film stars Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Sam Neill, BD Wong, Omar Sy, Isabella Sermon, Justice Smith, and Danielle Panetta, reprising their roles from previous films in the franchise, and are joined by DeWanda Wise, Marmaduke Athie, Campbell Scott, Scott Hayes, and Daikin Lachman? Well, let's go with that. Couple pieces of information about the film. Colin Trevorrow actually has revealed that this film is going to actually have more animatronics than its predecessors. As he put it, we've actually gotten more practical with every Jurassic movie we've made since the first one, and we've made more animatronics in this one than we have in the previous two. Which, to be completely frank, like, that first film was way ahead of its time in terms of not only the practical work, but even the CG, the computer-generated work. Mm-hmm. It literally still looks great.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, there's no issue or error that I can see with the film at all.
Still love the first one. Still amazing. Yeah. Still very scary. Still, you know, the T-Rex comes out and you just feel that immediate fear and shock. The Velociraptors, as soon as they start coming around, you also feel like you're in a tight spot. So,
yep. Totally. Totally agree. The first one has aged beautifully. It doesn't even feel like it's aged at all. Like, even the animation, which most people complain is like, oh, it dated itself. I'm like, nope. That opening Mr. DNA, nope, we're good.
Also, a little bit tidbit about the film. There is actually some confusion on whether or not this is the last film of the franchise. The producer, Frank Marshall himself, has recently teased the film's future, stating that I think Dominion's going to wrap up this trilogy, but we're not resting on our laurels. We are going to sit down, we're going to see what the future is, talking about the Netflix series, the animated series, and wanting to continue to look more in this in the Jurassic world. But oddly enough, Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard contradict that by saying, no, this is actually the end. They actually were on the Today Show, and Chris Pratt says, I really do think it's the end. You got the legacy cast back, plus the cast of Jurassic World. He went on to say, 30 years in the making, this is the sixth Jurassic film, and it's the end of this franchise. So I don't know if either one is right. It's kind of one of those situations where the franchise as a whole is something that we hold dear to. And whether or not they continue seems to be something of a question. So, yeah. But in terms of this movie, so we all here have had a chance to see the movie, right, Spencer?
Yes.
Okay, just
once.
Once is all you need. Mm. Mm-hmm. This franchise, like I said, is something special here to this table, and I kind of wanted to dive in terms of when it comes to expectations. I wanted to know where your guys' experience lied within the franchise itself or the first films. Do you guys remember when you saw the first Jurassic Park?
Absolutely. 1997. Or am I off on that? Yeah, I think it was 97.
I thought it was 93.
Or maybe it was 93.
The first movie?
The first one.
Oh, 93.
Yeah, okay.
97 was the second one.
I think then. The first one that I seen, 93, that means I was about 5 or 6 years old. All I remember was on the drive home, because I went to go see that in the drive-ins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were in the back of my grandparents' van. They'd open up that back area, so pull down the seats. So we're just staring out. And all I could think is, I kept looking at the bushes like, there are raptors out there. Now I know it. Now I know there are actual dinosaurs somewhere around.
There's dinosaurs around, guys.
I was also starving after that movie. I didn't realize how long
that
it was.
That seemed like a common theme for you. We came into the studio and he's like, I'm hungry, guys. I'm like,
I'm always hungry.
Yeah. What about you, Spence? Because I know you're an avid fan of the film. In fact, I even got you something Jurassic Park related for Christmas.
Yes, yeah. You got me the soundtrack on vinyl. I think that it was because...
Me. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Infighting. We'll talk about it later.
Mom, Dad.
Either way.
I attribute it to both of you.
There you go.
So, yeah, that's probably got that because I was complaining about Jurassic Park 3's soundtrack being the one I got as a child and being disappointed with it. But yeah, I remember the first time I saw it, I think was when it released the video, because I mostly remember watching it at my house. And I love that movie. Like, it was terrifying, but like also really cool. And so I remember, you know, a little later, like, seeing, you know, Lost World. Also, I think that might have been at home too. I feel like I didn't go to see too many movies as a kid, child.
And yet he's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, I'm here. And then I saw the third one, definitely not in theaters.
Alan!
Confusion. Like, I can't even talk about the third one. And then Jurassic World was kind of like a bit of return to form after the third one. I was like, okay. Like
several years later.
Yeah.
We're looking at like, what, 20 years?
Between
roughly,
3 and 15, that's 14. But if you want to go from Jurassic Park, that is 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we had Fallen Kingdom, which, you know, we talked about previously on the podcast.
Yeah, there was Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
If you want our thoughts on that, check out our episode. I don't know what episode it was, but we talked about it.
Yeah. And so after that one, I was like, are they going to make a third one? Because I was like, if they didn't, I'd
should they make that. A third one?
Yeah. So that's kind of where I was at. Disappointments abounds.
Okay. Ames, when did you see the first one?
So the
last week?
No, actually. I was just checking. No. Though I did not see it in 1993 when it came out because my parents took me to the theater and go, we're going to go see the dinosaur movie. And I'm like, okay, cool. Jurassic Park. Nope. We saw We're Back. I saw We're Back in theaters in 1993.
Hold up. That was also an awesome film.
It is a dinosaur. It is. And it had scary points. So I was like, cool. I didn't see.
All the cool dino people were going into one theater and she's over here with their dinosaur shirt going into that theater.
We're Back is a very cool. That's a cool dino movie.
If I had to choose between We're Back and Jurassic Park, what would you choose?
All right, well,
thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, so I didn't see it the year it came out. I do remember the first time I saw it, it was actually on as a Saturday afternoon movie.
These are becoming more and more of a common theme.
Hey, that's where
I'm looking at you because you traumatized me from Christmas because of that dang movie.
And that's what happens when Fox is being cheap. People see old movies that are bad.
But you know, hey, but Jurassic Park wasn't bad, though it was edited for time and content. So I never knew what happened to Ned Dream.
It's like that Friends episode where Phoebe watches the ending of was it not in the last season? Old Yeller.
Oh, no. No.
So you saw it later on
TV.
So I saw
it later on. I was still a kid, so I do remember that. I didn't see the second one until...
Last year, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which I was laughing because that was in... I had seen World, I had seen Fallen Kingdom, and I was like, there's more than like two movies, right, you guys? And so I was just like, yes, there are. So I saw the second one. I did not see the Raptor vocal cord.
Yeah, you don't need to see that one.
Haven't seen that one. Oh,
good for you. Staying strong.
You're like, we gotta fix this.
Maybe.
So yeah, and then I saw the most recent one last night. But for dinosaurs as a whole, I mean, I haven't watched the Jurassic Park Cretaceous period that they came out with.
On Netflix.
But other dinosaur movies, I'm fairly well versed, including the short-lived ABC TV show Dinotopia.
Dinotopia.
Oh, yeah. Early 2000s came out. ABC came out with this thing where it was dinosaurs and humans live together in harmony.
Was that like a live action show?
It was like CGI and live action. It was
crazy. I think
crazy.
I've seen, you know, are you sure that was an ABC or a Fox show?
It was an ABC.
There is a different show that was about dinosaurs.
Besides dinosaurs.
There was a lot actually now.
There's Dinosaur, that's the one movie. There's Dinosaurs, which was the ABC. Was it ABC for that TV show? Dinosaurs?
There's one where it's.
Terra Nova.
Terra Nova's something different. Chad and I, the previous host, we had long conversations about the nonsense of that show.
Terra Nova? Oh, yeah.
That was from like 2012 or something like that.
No, but
2011. There's The Lost World, which was one that was based on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, where like these people fell into like this rift.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then there was another one that was a kid's show that like this group of humans was living with dinosaurs for some reason. I barely remember that one.
Land of the Lost.
Yes, that's the one.
Do you guys remember the TV show Dinosaurs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was such a... Oh, that was a great show.
Yeah.
Up until the very last episode.
Yeah, the last episode was really sad.
So, Dinotopia from 2002 was on ABC.
And you watch that garbage, but you won't see the Disney movie Dinosaurs.
Dinosaur, and I did.
And you don't like it. You've talked about it profusely.
It's not my favorite. It's just not my favorite.
But you can't have an uncanny valley. You can't have an uncanny valley with dinosaurs. Okay, it just doesn't work that way.
Yes, you can. So I know some dinosaurs, and also let us all break our hearts quietly and softly with "The Land Before Time" from 1988.
Oh yeah.
Land of the Lost.
What about you, Eddie?
So yes, I'm in the same boat as Tyler. My parents actually took me to see it opening night at the drive-in. Mm. And then I went to my my dad actually took me to go see it in theaters after that. And so I saw it 2 or 3 times. I don't know, maybe twice when it came out. But every movie since then I've seen in theaters. I've seen, you know, the first, second. I saw the third in theaters, big screen, Alan, you know, all that.
Alan.
And honestly, like, dinosaurs is one of those things that I'm not a huge dino nerd. You know, to be frank, like, I'm not fully, you know, aware.
I feel like we got that from your Dilophosaurus from the beginning of the episode.
Well, that was just to, you know.
I would have gone so simple, just a Spensasaurus.
Anyway, Spencer over here about to turn into the Purple Hulk. The Amazing Bulk. There you go. Yeah.
That was so horrible. I actually seen that recently.
No, we're not talking about
okay,
that.
Okay, we don't have to, but I'm telling you, it was horrible. I now agree with you on that as well.
So, aside from that, like, I'm not a huge fan, like, I'm not a huge geek about dinosaurs, but I can appreciate every bit of effort that went into all these movies, even some of the more lesser ones, you know, like somewhat of 2 and then 3 somewhat. But I can appreciate them. I actually kind of liked The Lost World with Ian Malcolm. But honestly, before any of those, my dad was a fan of the books.
Crichton.
So he had read both Michael Crichton's Jurassic Park. And then after Jurassic Park, the second one didn't come out to like, the book didn't come out to like 95, which is interesting because you have an author who created a book that was adapted into a movie, and then now he has to make a sequel to that book that's already been adapted into a movie and incorporate those parts so that way the studios can make a sequel to their first movie. That's literally how it went. Like, Steven Spielberg went to Michael Crichton and said, "I need you to write a second book because we need to make a sequel." And ba-boom. So he had the books, and I had originally read the first book after the movie came out, like when I was like 13, 14. And then obviously when the second book came out, I was only able to read half of it. I don't remember. I think comic books were kind of more prominent for me in that. But yeah, I was a huge fan of the franchise and all the films that came out after the fact. I liked Jurassic World. Fallen Kingdom was a little bit of a struggle, was a lot of bit of a struggle, was a struggle, and
the struggle was real.
And yeah, it was interesting because I don't think at any point in time had I ever felt more concerned about a sequel in this franchise than I did after that Fallen Kingdom film. And we're here now.
Yes, we are.
So let's talk first impressions as soon as the movie was done. I want to start with Spencer because Spencer looks like he's the one who is about to spill the most.
No. I'm just like, first impressions out of the theater, I was like, I wonder if there is a version of this movie with less Owen and Claire. That'd just be just a tiny bit more to the point. I did like a few of the scenes with them, and I do want to keep some of them. But for the most part, I'm like, if we just focused on the original cast and like less these people, I'd be a bit more happier.
You know, I had mentioned that. I had said that earlier. Mm-hmm. we are honestly grateful enough. We are super, like, I don't know, spoiled in the fact that those individuals are still around, mm-hmm. and that we still have them in acting capability. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like there was a thought that long ago they were like, we need to make a movie where this big corporation comes in and then we have, you know, Dr. Alan Grant and Dr. Sadler and, you know, Dr. Malcolm all come in and they save the day. And they're like, all right, that's cool. Let's put that on the back burner. And then fast forward to now and they're like, oh, hey, you know, we got Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. We have to figure out a way to incorporate them into the story. And that's how this got mashed into. So, you know,
that
before,
seems very believable.
I know. Before we dive in, I do want to let our folks know we are going to be delving into spoilers. To be quite frank, I don't care. We're going to talk about spoilers in this movie because of the fact that, honestly, I don't think we really spoil anything. No. I think, honestly, if you're intelligent enough, I guess is the right word. If you ain't dumb, you'll kind of expect the what happens in the movie.
Go check it out or, you know,
yeah.
Just the wait to spoils hear what, it before we do.
Yeah.
Truth. So, spoiler alert, this is your first, last, and only warning for the conversation. Sorry, Spence, didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Was that all?
Yes. His first impression.
No, I wanted to make sure I didn't cut the man off.
Oh, that was it.
Okay. What about you, Ames?
Team Doctor was way cooler than Team Parents, and this movie was all over the map. And not in the way that I can follow. Like, no. Yeah. Dead no.
That's about as cryptic as a Gravity Falls, you know, mystery here, though. Because okay.
But on the plus side, she did not give everything away. So I feel like.
And I have more points to talk to later.
Okay, good balance. Okay, that's a good balance. I'll give you that since you're good usually job. The one who, you know, word vomits at the very beginning. Good job for holding back. Thank you.
I expound. Yay.
What about you, Tyler? First impressions without giving too much away because we're going to talk about it in the
film. I won't go too much into it. I am going to directly quote the movie and then just leave it there. This isn't about us. And I wish they would have said that at the beginning.
Mm. That's a good quote grab there. Because it's true.
Had they gone with that at the beginning.
My first impression of this movie was I had reason to be concerned.
Did you come out feeling like those reasons were valid still?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I came out recollecting on my first impressions after that last movie, wondering should they make a sequel? And like kind of like doing that hindsight, like, yeah, they no.
I mean, I'll be honest, it was kind of cool seeing the original cast come mm-hmm. back. That was, you know, a little bit of nostalgia there. It just, that wasn't enough, you know. This is Jurassic World we're talking about. So seeing them, it was great, but at the end of the day, what are we all there for?
True.
Dinosaurs.
That's a good point. And speaking of performances, let's kind of dive into some of the actors in this film. And let's be frank, like Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Like icons. Yeah. Perfection. Yep. They feel, they look, and they act like they literally just got off the set of Jurassic Park 1. Yep. Like Laura Dern does not look like she's aged. Alan Grant or Sam Neill, I don't know how, but he looks younger than the last movie I've seen him in. And I'm like, the last movie I saw him in was Hunt for the Wilder People.
He looked very grizzled and old in that.
And he did. He looked grizzled. He looked old. He looked, you know, and in this, he's like a spry, still, you know, dusting off bones paleontologist.
He is trying to catch somebody's eye. So, I mean, when you're trying to woo somebody, you want to put your best foot forward. I don't care how old you are, man. That guy was all smiles and everything.
And then obviously you have Jeff Goldblum, the Hollywood sweetheart of many fans in just about everything. The man who has made his way into the MC universe, yes. Marvel Cinematic Universe. Jeff Goldblum was just great. Like,
oh, fantastic.
I do feel like his performance was kind of like a percentage of what he was, that what we saw him in the first and second film. I don't think he was as zany or as unique as he was in those ones. But I do feel like his performance in the film was just by far one of the most refreshing things to see in a Jurassic world, not so much Jurassic Park, but a Jurassic World film. Because let's be frank, we were all bamboozled in that last film.
Yes.
When we saw his, all of his scenes, every single one of his scenes were in the trailers. And you're like, oh, Jeff Goldblum's back. All right, we get Dr. Ian Malcolm. All right, cool. And then you watch the second film. There's no Dr. Ian Malcolm. Where is he at? And it's like, oh, he's at the beginning and he's at the end.
Actually, this is the movie. So I try my best on a daily to not agree with Spencer. I do not want to put him in a position that makes him feel like I think that his way of thinking is always correct.
I really wish I could wish I could put into words Spencer's like, what the heck kind of look right now.
Basically, well, you just defined yourself to be his lifetime nemesis.
Like, if I could, absolutely. Like, if I could.
It sounds more like just a lifetime foil, not nemesis, but just foil.
I mean, right. That makes Spencer the face. So there we go.
So Spencer you had a said
point that was probably correct. <you're
agreeing> with me? Yes, unfortunately, yet again, Spencer has been on this thing that we are lied to when it comes to the trailers. This movie, when the second one ended, when Fallen Kingdom ended, and when the trailers came out, and when we went and seen this, Spencer and I went and seen this, I told him the very first thing right after the movie is, you're right, they are just flat out lying to us at this point.
Yep.
That is exactly how I felt about this movie.
I literally just saw a video today.
From MatPat.
From MatPat, yes.
I saw that too. On that elephant.
Where MatPat, the film theorist on YouTube, made a video about if it's possible to sue Sony over the abysmal film of Morbius due to false advertising. And it's interesting that we talk about that, and then we're talking about these movies, I want to call these movies the sequel trilogy, because I don't want to put anything on that first trilogy. Yep. That first trilogy, it's fine. It's good. Like the first film, fantastic. Second film, good. Third one, okay.
Hilariously bad in some places. Like, I will forever laugh at that Alan scene, dream sequence.
I mean, hey, when you get a raptor that can talk, you know? But it's interesting that with this particular, with these particular films, how much there's hope to see, like, flickers of what was great about that first trilogy in this one. And I think the first one was the only one that got close. Because that first one, it does the whole we're opening a new park kind of thing. You know, there was no false promises in this. We got to see massive dinosaurs that we weren't able to see due to the limits of technology back then. And it was cool. I mean, we got to even see some of that in the third film, like in that pterodactyl cage and all that kind of stuff. We got to see a lot of those. But with that first film, seeing that huge, I don't even know what it's called.
The Indominus Rex?
No, the dinosaur that's in the water.
The Meslosaurus. Mm. Mesla?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Look, that comes up and goes, yeah, like no, a
yeah, see.
I'm going to eat it.
Which they made a part of the Jurassic Park ride in Universal.
And that's beautiful. That gives you a fear of water right there. That would, you know, some of the scenes that you're seeing in the trailer, you know, people are surfing and I'm not spoiling anything here. Just go on YouTube, check out the trailer, and you see the Mosasaurus. All right. You see the Mosasaurus coming up on these surfers as they're in the water. It's absolutely terrifying. Yeah. Where was it in the movie?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about that trailer that was released like a while back before the official trailer.
Yes. Absolutely.
That actually was supposed to be the original opening for the film. But then they scratched that for some reason, which honestly, I agree. That is
Steven
a
goes you Jaws. I had Jaws. You're not allowed to do that again.
Yeah, I feel like they were just deconstructing it, like pulling out parts. Like, oh, did somebody do this in a different horror style film? Oh, we'll take that out. We'll take that out. And I'm like, no, that's all the stuff I was going. I could absolutely terrify any number of people from going to the beach if I just show them that one shot. Like, oh, this thing will eat you and get you if you go out there.
It's Jaws 2.0, essentially. That scene alone is Jaws 2.0. And that's part of, like, that whole, for this film, for this trilogy, this new trilogy, that right there, the parts like that are like what brings people back to that first film, and the whatever logic that went into thinking about or evolve, you know, essentially resulting in them removing it. Why? Like the first film, like I said, the first film of that trilogy was good. It had flickers. Everything after the fact kind of went rogue a bit in terms of their own doing. Like Colin Trevorrow, God bless his heart.
He likes dinosaurs. He likes animatronics. He likes animatronic dinosaurs. But the Pratterverse is just not what we expected. And especially in that second and this one, I don't think what we really wanted. If we're talking about acting across the board right now, the Chris Pratt seemed tired, just tired as a human, as a character, as I don't know if it's my lack of patience, but I felt like I didn't need him. Sorry, bro.
Is that Anna Faris divorce? That's what it was. It just really,
like I said,
we don't even want to bring that in.
Did we need any of them though? You know what I mean? Like
no,
the
I agree.
What Fallen Kingdom sets up is that this is now going to be a world. Ian Malcolm's the one who says it. This is now a world of dinosaurs. So going into this movie, exactly what I expect to see is just a world full of dinosaurs.
And people freaking out and being like, I can't live like this. Joni, pack our bags. We're living under the sea now, but they'll get us there.
No. Yeah, like something ridiculous. Like I would have absolutely loved to see a scene where somebody was like, you know what? We're American. We don't have to deal with this. Let's move to Canada.
I would have absolutely loved
seeing that. Oh, well, Frank got eaten by a dinosaur today. So, you know, I hear the Canadian dinosaurs are a bit nicer. I would have forgiven so much on this movie had that been a scene.
One of those Velociraptor comes up to a Canadian. Hello. I'm about to eat you right now. Eh? Would you mind if I take a bite out of your leg? Eh?
But yeah, so Pratt was just, it was wooden newcomer that played Talia. Or Kayla? I thought it was Talia. The pilot? The pilot.
Kayla.
Kayla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked
DeWanda
her.
Wise.
Yeah. DeWanda Wise. I liked her. She added brevity. She added a lot more fun. It felt like if we had paired her, we could take Bryce. Bryce would have been fine. We could have added her to the team of doctors. So the original, the OG doctor team. Yeah. And the girl that played Maisie. And I cannot remember her name, so apologies. That
I think it's Isabella Sermon.
Yes,
that group, like they could have functioned in the whole. The corporation is trying to control everything, and we've got to stop them. Blah blah blah. And Bryce is coming in as I'm a concerned mom. My kid is missing type of thing, and I'm teaming up with the pilot and you know everything else. But Chris, sorry, this Pratterverse did not need Chris Pratt to continue.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of forcing of that particular storyline into this one so that there could be a consistent plot thread from the first one to the third one, mm-hmm. which, to be quite frank, you didn't need those two in the second film to follow up. You could have essentially made it how they did the first trilogy. You could have you had everybody that was great in the first one, and in the second one you bring back one, and he's kind of the main focus.
You follow along
with a whole new, like with a different cast of characters, or like I would have loved to have seen Julianne Moore come back. Yeah. That would have been cool. There was a theory going around that DeWanda Weiss's character was Ian Malcolm's daughter.
That's what I thought.
That would have been interesting. I think in terms of DeWanda Weiss, I feel like she was used in just the right amount. To it not being overtly, you know, too much, because mind you, yeah, she was great. She had sass. She added, you know, color to the characters in terms of her personality, as well as diversity, because that was an all white cast. yes. And you would have brought, she brought a lot more to the table, but I feel like if it was pushed, it would have been a little much. Like her lines and everything, her dialogue was great. But it was like in right amounts as it was coming out. We get, unfortunately, a total 180 BD Wong in this movie. I feel bad for the actor.
That actor specifically is why I have trust issues in my day-to-day relationships, and that I'm always trying to prove Spencer wrong. Because
Law and Order SVU?
Because of being Wong?
Yes, because of that guy.
Because he was the assistant in Father of the Bride to, what's his name, the wedding planner?
You know, I'm not going to go that in-depth.
Martin Short?
But in the first Jurassic Park, the guy was knowledgeable. No. He comes at you as knowing what he's talking about. And just all around being a nice guy, being helpful. And then all of a sudden, the next time we meet him, he's kind of a shady character.
Yeah.
And then he continues to be a shady character. And now he's like, hey guys, it's cool. I just want to help out. Yeah, like I'm done trying to destroy the world.
In this franchise, I find him the most confusing.
I find him the most frustrating. Like, why? What happened in 4 years that you turned from a maniacal egomaniac who has a god complex in both the first and second films in the sequel trilogy to now a... You know, cardigan wearing.
In the lab, no less. The man looked like if we give him a cup of tea and his glasses and his slippers, he would be just fine.
Man looked like a frequent flyer with the bags under his eyes. He had his hair long. He looked disheveled.
You know that typical jerk trait that movies try to push? They'll have somebody eating an apple. Mm-hmm. I totally expected that if he was going to be in this movie, we were going to be reintroduced to him while eating an apple.
Just you mean like the CEO who, with his bars?
Right, absolutely.
I want to talk about the CEO, okay. This guy.
Okay, hold on. Because I agree. That is another flipping character. I think the actual employees of this organization, Biosyn, mm-hmm. are probably the most confusing confusing characters, not the actors themselves, but the most confusing characters in this movie. Side note, did you guys know in the book, Biosyn is actually the company that Dodson. It's Dodgson. I don't know how it's spelled. Or
Dodson. Dodson, we have Dodson here.
Yeah. That he actually is working for Biosyn at that time. He's the competing company. Now, in the book, it tells you that. In the movie, it don't tell you nada.
You're just there to kind of guess.
And supposedly, obviously, you guys realize in the movie, he's the same one that is the one that meets with Nedry in that first film.
Yeah, until that, like, Barbasol scene for me to be like, oh, yeah, this guy.
Yeah, aww. And it's like,
How did he even find that? I would like to point that out.
Yeah, that was confusing.
Because that was under a pile of mud.
Yeah.
Surrounded by...
Dinosaurs.
An island with dinosaurs on it. So a whole body of water. Did he just go looking for that one particular item?
Probably.
I mean,
and
with
why?
A metal detector and some meat to throw in the distance.
If we're giving them way too much credit, we could say, oh, they placed a tracker in the canister so that way when blah, blah, blah. But then you would think he does tell him this only has a cooling agent in it for 24 hours, so you need to get on the boat.
So all the dinosaurs that were in it, all of the little specimens are gone.
They all should have been gone. So why is he grabbing the damn canister?
Yeah, you know? Why was that so... Like, oh, this reminds me of Nedry. I need this to be... No, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about that can.
But in terms of, like, those characters, BD Wong is sincerely the most... I want to say pathetic, but I don't want to say pathetic.
Because it's BD Wong and we don't want to tell him that he's pathetic.
Like, yeah, actually, I'm thinking
it's
about it.
It's literally, BD Wong is wonderful. He's an amazing actor, but this is like the most pathetic we have seen him as. And it's not only troubling, it's really like, this is really uncomfortable.
It's Dr. Henry Wu from the first one, and then we get like jerk face Dr. Wu in 1 and 2, And then this one, we get like, oh, tail between his legs. I've learned my lesson and I want to fix the world.
Only after we've made the giant crazy locust.
But like, guys, he's already killed people.
I know.
Guys, whoa. Okay, I got this. I figured it out. I uncracked this. There are multiple of the Doctor. There are multiples. He's cloned.
I do not like there's
and
human
there
clones
is
in this world.
Yes, there are human clones, and the good one and the evil one. The movie we wanted to see was them fighting over dinosaurs and who got to be the doctor of the dinosaurs. And obviously, the bad one got killed in between that 4 years, and we didn't see it.
Yeah, but that's
nailed it.
If that was the case, though, they would have made several clones. Just because, even though they made the clone of the little girl, I feel like
He was dead set on like she's the only clone type of jam.
Yeah. As in, hey, don't look at me as a clone, and don't worry about what I did previously. She's the only clone. Oh yeah, but the guy that's under all the dinosaur piles of right there, yeah, that's not me either.
I feel like what happened was Dr. Wu changed his name, moved to New York, did Law and Order SVU for a few years, realized how horrible people are to their kids, learned how to be a little bit more motherly, came back and was like, I did everything wrong. And then that's where we are. Like,
so,
that's
real quick, in New York SVU, so he's out in New York. Why didn't we see any dinosaurs in that show then?
Oh, because he had that, remember that that deterrent?
Oh, yeah.
He had a deterrent over New York City.
Okay.
So,
that thing works well.
To go on what Spencer wanted to, like, literally break the dam over, the CEO, what? It was like watching Donald Trump in a movie.
Go ahead and tear him apart,
watching
Spencer.
Tim Cook, because this is what this company is. It's Apple. Like, that's how everyone was projecting. It was like, what company should we be? And they were like, well, let's be Apple. Because he was bringing his best Tim Cook impersonation I've ever seen.
It really was
bizarre that
Spencer's
like,
slamming his laptop over there.
He really doesn't like Apple. When I first asked him,
we've established that one prior.
I have asked him before. Like, hey, Spencer, I was thinking about getting an Apple phone. Do not do that, Tyler. It is the worst. There are no third-party blah, blah, blah. I don't know. He started speaking basically French to me.
I don't know why I would have done that.
See, here's the thing, Tyler. Here's the thing. What is this podcast ran on?
Oh, no. Trust me.
Trust in pixie dust and an unnamed, just undisclosed
An unknown fruit. You know.
Spencer has...
This is not the fruit stand. We don't work for the fruit stand. And we do not endorse the fruit stand.
Are you being racist because I'm Hispanic?
It's called the fruit stand.
Oh, my gosh.
Do we forget the part that I podcast with former fruit stand employees and they literally all call it the fruit stand because they're not allowed to say, I work for Apple. They say, I work at the fruit stand.
Steve is Portuguese. Why are you keep saying these racial things? Oh, my gosh. Just stop.
He's so nice.
No, but the CEO was just like everything that came out of his mouth was complete nonsense and garbly gook, and it never led to anything.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking, okay, maybe... To Tyler's little idea there, maybe he was a clone. Maybe he was like a malfunctioning clone or something. Like, I thought like maybe that was going to be the thing that came about.
I'm going to be honest. This is the first Jurassic Park type bad guy that I'm like, he didn't deserve it, bro. I don't know what he deserved.
No.
He deserved to get audited. Sure. He deserved maybe some jail time. Absolutely.
I feel like
he was kind of like, I think he might have been... There might have been brain damage or something. He didn't deserve what he got.
There was a lot of damage if that was the case.
He didn't deserve what he got.
Okay, Spencer, was that your only...
Well, no, mostly because I didn't understand any of his motivation.
No.
Because, like, maybe I missed it.
Nope.
But, like, the whole thing where he's like, I'm going to release all of these, like, terror plague on the planet. And, like, it avoids his crops. But, like... He should know how the food chain works.
Right.
Even if your stuff's good, people are going to make that connection, one. And then two, you're still going to destroy way more than you think.
Not to mention, these things, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced real locusts. No. They do bite.
Oh.
And yeah, they're pincers.
They're after protein. That's their driving force. They are after protein. That's why they follow each other in those great big herds.
And they leave little marks on you. Like, they bite and they pinch. These things were the size of small babies. And
they
literally
were chickens.
They were literally like...
They were turkeys.
Yeah, they were like little turkeys. Armored turkeys flying through the air. And they were taking huge chunks out of like clothing and stuff like that. They were going to kill people eventually.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to lead to somewhere. Like, oh, the first locust death has been confirmed and blah, blah, blah. Like, seriously. The only huge tech company who is doing things with genetics in regards to dinosaurs
that's been approved by the government, the U.S. government,
is finally something of substantial status, and we got massive locusts. You know, it's like 1 + 1 = blue. No, here's the obvious answer. But no, that CEO, I felt like every single time he was on screen, I was like, what? Like, there was a point when Dr. Alan Grant was like, I have no idea what's going on here. Like, there's a line he says in the movie, and I'm like, that is exactly how I feel right now in the movie.
Yeah, each time that Alan Grant made a one-line statement with a point, it was like, I agree with him.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. Dude, we're all right there. I'm sitting in the same theater. I agree with you.
Like,
and two, this isn't about us.
Dr. Alan Grant was the audience point of view for this particular film.
Yeah, the whole time I was agreeing with him.
We do get little cameos, if you will, from the previous cast at the beginning of the film, like Justice Smith, who was in the last film, Daniel Pineda, who was in the last film as well, but you only see Daniel Pineda in like the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
Tim and Lexi.
They were actually, there was a,
I'm sorry, that came across as a statement. Where are Tim and Lexi in this universe?
Who?
So Tim and Lexi, the kids from the first Jurassic Park movie.
Oh.
So there was apparently conversations about bringing them on in the film. In fact, I believe the guy who played Tim was quoted as saying on Instagram, saying, hey guys, let's bring the group back, let's bring the gang back together, or something, whatever, alluding to the fact that he might be coming back. Now, maybe they did and they cut those scenes for whatever reason. That's a possibility. But I do agree, if it was just the three doctors and those two kids again, who are now maybe like Lexi's like a security, like a cybersecurity specialist or something, and Tim is like a paleontologist because he loved dinosaurs, you know, or something. I think that would have been cool.
That would have been cool.
But we got Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. So,
Bryce Dallas Howard, at least she's still trying. I kind of agree with Amy. It seems like Chris Pratt was phoning in a lot of this.
It's true. It did seem like, I'm thinking now back on that article, I'm thinking maybe it was alluding to more the fact that he's saying he's done with the franchise as opposed to the franchise being done.
Yep.
Was there anybody else that you guys wanted to talk about? I know, Amy, you had mentioned something about one of the villains.
Yes.
Characters. Okay.
First off, I want to establish that this movie, like, it failed the Bechdel test, number one. Number two,
Do you want to explain what the Bechdel test is?
I just remember that it's about women, and when they're come together, do they talk about something other than the main protagonist, or basically like if it's girls getting together and having a conversation about, oh, like shoes or something. It's something dumb. And does it move the story and the plot line forward on its own merit, or does it struggle to have like actual...
Yeah. So the three rules of it are at least two women are featured, that these women talk to each other, and number three, that they discuss something other than a man.
And they don't do that. And even with the dinosaurs. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that the villains in this are minorities, like across the board, and I don't like it. The main female villain that we see, because let's be honest, Dodson, he's Tim Cook in disguise, but the main female that we see, Santos,
yeah,
she looks like Mirage from Incredibles. No joke.
She absolutely
did. She looks 100% like it, and I did not like that it was like, oh, she's the Asian woman, she's only in it for the money, and she's the villain. And then we had BD Wong, where suddenly he's changed part. I'm like, BD, you're I can't do this. And then the underground, like, we're all secret hush-hush, this is the black market, and people come to, like, touristy. It was all minorities. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here, people? Like, white people commit crimes, too? Like, so frustrating. Sorry.
CEO was pointing out to us. But, however, that's more of what I did expect from this movie. I loved, right off the bat, the underground dinosaur sort of...
It was neat, but I was like,
well, no, it's real. It's reality. You know, when you hear about tigers being in places that you wouldn't normally see them,
like Tiger King, who's a white guy.
Yeah. It's some sort of
Antle, who's a white guy.
I mean, imagine going out somewhere. You're just headed out with your friends. You guys are going to go have some fun. And then all of a sudden you're being eaten by some sort of, you know, giant prehistoric dinosaur. I was expecting to see so much more of that. You know, ooh, black arms.
You're talking about like the black market side of things.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because I was expecting, going into this, I didn't expect that, you know, dinosaurs are just going to be free roaming and humanity is going to be cool with that. It's either full on war from our side, like we're launching everything we got at them to keep them away from the cities, or we've found some sort of balance where you guys stay on this outer rim here, we'll stay in here, and then you'll have these black market dealers occasionally bringing in dinosaurs, and hey, this is a cool pet to have as long as it doesn't eat you. And then I wanted to see some sort of rich, snobby person, hopefully in a Tesla.
You wanted to see the irresponsible side of being alive during dinosaurs.
Do you guys like my Velociraptor? And then their whole arm just gets chomped off. That would have been so amazing.
Well, are we talking like Siegfried and Roy kind of things? And
no, talking like a clean cut, just takes off Tesla driver's arm.
But did you notice we also had to go to Malta to get that type of environment? Because when we were in the U.S. and oh no, the poachers are there and they're going after Beta, who also was very adorable as a puppet, I'm not going to lie. You were seeing the Americans are chill with this, and the U.S. Department of Wildlife is suddenly we're protecting them. I was like, I call BS. I call BS all over your hot trash. Don't even play. There are people literally that are in the Midwest somewhere that are shooting dinos on site. Whatever.
And that's what I went in expecting to see those exact real reactions. No, I wanted to see the dinosaurs letting people have it. And I also wanted to see it on the other end.
There's probably some kind of rich, hunting party thing that you could sign up for $2 million to go and hunt a T-Rex on some, private area. Absolutely. Or things like that.
Absolutely. How would humans, in the real world that we're in, not the world we want to be in, not the world that we wish we were in, the real world that we are all in, where there are terrible humans, there are terrible people to be around, how would we interact with dinosaurs?
Oh, crappy.
No, and I agree that mindset, that would have been a better twist on it in terms of creating that black market, that kind of dark side of living in a world with dinosaurs, where the reality is you don't have to go all the way to Malta to find, a illegal, fighting ring of dinosaurs, whatever. There's literally one in Nevada. It's outside of Reno or whatever. Or you can go over here.
Absolutely. The closest they got was frying up some of the dinosaurs, and I was like, okay, but. And I'm vegan, by the way, and I still wasn't that's not all that bad. I would expect it to be so much worse.
In terms of the story, we kind of
we just stomped that down.
This is a very confusing story. There are two different plot threads that are happening at the same time that have no, parallel to each other. One is about finding a child in a dinosaur. One is about exposing a huge corporation or a huge industry for its underhanding dealings. And then they just happen to crash literally into each other.
And they don't even there's the vague, when they finally do intersect, it's you look like somebody I used to know. You're cool. Not we've got to save you too.
No, because there's literally a moment that when they actually do collide into each other, because Dr. Grant, Dr. Sadler, Ian Malcolm, and
Team Doctor. Team Doctor
with Maisie.
Mm-hmm. Right there. That's it. Maisie. Maisie is the one that keeps bringing everything together. She brings DeWanda Wise's character in, right? DeWanda instantly feels some level of pity or something.
Responsibility.
There you go. Goes and gets her. Team Doctor then feels some sort of responsibility. And this is also the same kid that in the last movie just released all the dinosaurs on the planet.
I'm proud of her. She did a good job. She goes, hey, you guys want to get out of here? I want you to get out of here too. It's okay. We got you.
But then that's what continuously keeps bringing them together. And you're like, how?
Honestly, if it didn't have Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt, I feel like Maisie would have been fine in there.
Yep.
As a, maybe she's a teen on the run, someone who's been hiding for so long, doing whatever, blah, 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 making ends meet, learning how to survive on her own, and then you incorporate the doctors. I feel like that would have been a much better sell for a lot of fans. And who knows? I mean, if maybe there was an end credit scene or a mid credit scene where, something to do with Bryce Dallas Howard that incorporates her, I mean, that would have been fine. I just feel like having these two very different plot threads happening at the same time, and then they literally just careen together. And then when they careen together, because they're in a car, the team doctor and Maisie, they're in a car and they flip over and they end up landing where the other team are, team sequel trilogy. And there's literally a 5 to 10 second just blank of what's happening. Everyone's just looking at each other, and I'm like, you're kids in the car.
There's dinosaurs that are going to paralyze you very shortly.
Also, this is a movie, and in movies, cars explode when they flip over.
Right?
So
typically.
Unless it was the original. No, see, the other, yeah, multiple flips. The first movie, it didn't multiple flip. It single landed when it rolled by the T-Rex push.
Yeah, but those are Ford Explorers. They're a little white.
And then it hit the tree and exploded from the front.
Which is interesting because,
dynamics. Hold on.
A little bit of like just nerding out on the books. In the movies, in the first book, the first film, sorry, the cars are Ford Explorers. Mm-hmm. In the book, they're, what are those, Land Rovers. Mm. In this movie, they're Land Rovers. Which is interesting to there. So here's my biggest issue. They took a lot of the inspiration from the first two books to try to, you know, bolster the parts of this movie's this trilogy to make it more appeasing. The whole idea of like weaponizing dinosaurs, that's in the second book, in The Lost World. The whole idea of, you know, Biosyn being this huge overlord company that's trying to take over InGen and all that, that's in the first book. And so I feel kind of robbed because I wanted to know all this back then, but I can understand, you know, adding too much to the story. But now that it's added now, I'm like, I don't know how much I really need all this information.
Right, because the movie is called Jurassic World. So, and we're talking about Bryce Dallas Howard. We're talking about Chris Pratt. I really wish we were talking about like the ultimate T-Rex cage match.
Oh man,
Moby Dick, you know, hunting the Mosasaurus. That Mosasaurus killed my whole family on that cruise, and I won't stop until I have his eye. Give me something.
Or you know, it'd been great. We get the little girl from the second movie who gets attacked by those compies and comes back to.
You know, absolutely, she goes gun wild crazy, and she's I'm gonna kill every single one of those copies. For like, you know, she's got an eye patch. One of her arms is a gun. She's missing a leg.
What is this?
But
Planet Terror?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go all in on it. Why did they?
In terms of comparison to the previous films, do you think this did any good to, you know, pay homage or even just give, you know, honor to any of those first three films? Or do you feel like, because there were certain Easter eggs that I was like, okay, cool. Like in the tent with Dr. Alan Grant, I don't know if you saw, but the vocal chamber for the Velociraptors was on the table.
That was such a great
addition. I'm like, oh my God, that's the vocal chamber of the Velociraptors. And I half expected him to grab that and take it with him.
Alan.
There was just all these little subtle nods, and it's like, it was fun to see, but I don't know if it did its best to honor where it came from. You know what I'm saying?
I wholeheartedly agree. Jurassic Park, the original one, gave us a lot to look at. And I don't know, I kind of felt like they would build up more, I don't know, some sort of magic when we run into the original cast members again. And, you know, for me personally, I don't feel like they nailed it. I don't feel like they got it down.
What about you, Spence? There's contemplation here.
Because I want to mostly lean into they didn't. But there's I see attempts to reach for it.
Uh-huh.
Like we want to, but they didn't. and yeah, I feel like that's
why. And that's why I'm giving them a C for effort. You know, I seen that reach. I seen that try. What I'm not seeing is the actual pull through. I'm not seeing the, you know.
Yeah, because like a lot of them end up being like, oh, that's cool to look at.
That's cool to look at.
Like near the end when that T-Rex enters like the compound and like it puts its head in front of like that circle thing so it matches the logo. I was like, yeah.
I saw that too. I'm like, it was literally for like a millisecond and it's like, so what you did there. Okay, cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. In regards to paying homage or at least giving the original trilogy callbacks, there were minute Easter eggs and details where you could kind of see it, like like Dr. Sattler's ring, her amber, her I'm thinking like Dr. Doppler now, so I went to like Treasure Planet, sorry. But her ring being the big amber stone and seeing amber everywhere and everybody's got it all over the place. And you're like, oh wow, and this and some of the designs, and there were moments, again, there were moments where people were like, let's explore all these dinosaurs. Mm. Let's give people more dinosaurs. You're coming for the third one. We got you more dinosaurs. And it was in spaces where I was like, yay. And then you're just like, but your story is confusing. I don't know what you're doing. And then literally like, we don't know most of the other dinosaurs' names. Like when you're coming into the situation, like, I don't know what we want to call Beatrice with her super long nails.
It's called a Therizinosaurus.
Beatrice with her super long nails.
Ultimately, I called it Dino Wolverine.
I also said Dino Wolverine as we were leaving the theater.
Because like every time they showed this dinosaur, it was always the long shot of the claws going down the hands. And it's like, oh, okay, you're making Wolverine. Got it.
I kept calling him Beatrice. Didn't know. It's all those long nails.
Beatrice.
Beatrice.
What was like, that dinosaur's... Sorry, what was that dinosaur's actual name again?
Therizinosaurus.
Okay.
Well, you've got a Giganotosaurus, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then we've got the Pyroraptor, which was the bird one that swam.
That was so awesome. I'm not going to lie. See, and now there's the part where I can find little itty-bitty pieces of this movie where I'm like, that thing comes walking out, and I was like, oh, what a feathery raptor. Dove into the water, and I was like, whoa, now they're dead.
Well, and that was like the Apatosaurus, like some of them you knew, like the tops, there were multiple versions. They're not just Triceratops, but they're all part of the tops family that you're like, oh, okay, maybe they kind of look like this, they kind of look like that. There was attempts everywhere, and I want to I want to applaud those attempts, the people that did the work, put in the work, and tried to make the environment and the creatures in those environments not only plausible, but as scientifically accurate as they could with the information that they had.
Very true.
That was seen, and I want to applaud that, because truly the effects work, the artists that did all of that, the makers, I can't fault you in anything working on this project. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your story direction and some of the acting...
You fired.
That was not your department or your team. Mm-mm. Please proceed to the Hyperloop and get yourself out of there.
Yeah, and it's true. Like there are scenes or moments in this film where completely bring you back to that feeling from that first film of true dread. Like seeing these things realistically in the movie. The amber mines with those dinosaurs. I don't even know what those.
But I just called them like they're basically like. Kind of like iguana lizards, but with the giant fins, and they could still eat dark.
Yeah, I just kept calling them the sewer iguanas.
There you go. Or that scene that we were talking about on top of the dam. Mm-hmm. The scene where we get towards the tail end with the T-Rex versus the...
Giganotosaurus.
With the Therizinosaurus. Oh my God.
With Beatrice and her
with
nails.
Beatrice, with Dino Wolverine.
This isn't about us.
There were a lot of scenes that really did... You could see the effects team, the CG team, the creature makeup team. Yeah. They all were wanting to put in their best foot forward in terms of creating not only just legacy dinosaurs in the film, but also show the evolution of them in this realm and using certain practical effect work. Yeah. With actually most of these dinosaurs. Was there any highlights that you guys saw or anything that you guys think was an issue? Outside of what we stated already.
The face Spencer made says it all.
I know. I was like, issues. There's lots of issues. Yeah. Yeah. Just drop Team Pratt from this movie. And like the movie gets like a lot more functional and a lot more exciting because you don't have all those detours into something else. Because like whenever like Team Doctor is doing something and they're like, we found something. And then they cut to like. Team Pratt, I'm like, but I want to know what the doctors found. I don't want to be with Chris Pratt right now.
I actually have a very simple fix for it that is works within this movie too. You have the dinosaurs eat those people, those actors, and then
to be completely frank, I actually thought was going to happen during that 100%. One scene of that like high hide. kind of thing. Yeah, and that's a callback absolutely. To The Lost World.
Well, but and then there were multiple scenes where I thought, like, oh no, nobody's going to survive this. You had that scene where we have the massive predators facing off, and I'm thinking, oh well, at least one person's going to die in all this, and
it's squished. Yeah,
yeah, and then nope, this isn't about us. They want to handle their own business.
Yeah.
Start that at the beginning of the movie. Let them, like, you know, Dr. Grant comes in and, they're going to fight. That looks great.
I actually
thought... Chris Pratt gets eaten. Bryce Dallas Howard, she tries to save her kid. She gets eaten, you know.
And then Dr. Alan start. Grant and Dr. Sattler become the new adopted parents.
What?
Yeah. I feel like, and this is, I think, because of Spencer. We're going to blame you a lot, by the way, for this particular issue.
I am blaming him. I truly... I'm on Eddie's side about this.
The trailer itself gave us at one point a moment that looked like Dr. Sattler was going to get eaten or killed. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
They wouldn't dare.
That's what I thought.
They wouldn't dare.
But it's. I mean, oh, there's only room for one leading female and it's Bryce Dallas. I don't know what they were thinking of.
Oh, no. No. There would be a writing campaign if that happened.
No, but they didn't have the dino balls to do that. They didn't have them to do anything. Everything
there
was
were no
so...
dino balls in this movie.
Yeah, I know. Most of the dinosaurs are female. But they didn't do any of that. I was expecting, like, if Grant had gotten eaten, I'd be mad. But at the same time, at least I would have felt something about it. Yeah. Better to be angry than to feel nothing at all.
One interesting choice for the movie is that I have never considered that a velociraptor would essentially emote to a human, go find my child.
Like, without using the voice box.
Yeah, was,
Alan. Actually, I was kind of happy with that. Again, I wanted to see, those are the interactions. So if you're going to be a dinosaur, I'm sorry.
Tyler just spoke and then Spencer gritted his teeth.
Yeah, I'm going to talk directly at Spencer with this one. That is what I was there to see. I want to see those interactions.
You want to see we're back, but in live action?
Absolutely. What I wanted to
see. The Velociraptor opens his mouth and it's John Goodman.
When Blue smacks down Chris Pratt's hand, first and foremost, I was just...
he scratches him.
Scratches him hardcore.
I've been waiting for somebody to eat that dang hand since Jurassic World came out. I've been waiting
because he keeps putting it out.
Yeah. If you, in reality, if somebody comes up to you and they're angry at you, a person to person, and you just stick your hand in their face and you're like, okay, guys, calm down. Like, this doesn't help.
No, if you put your hand in front of like an actual real life dangerous animal and you put your hand on, like, it's okay, they're going to bite the hand.
So I'm glad there was some sort of interaction. But again, that's kind of the stuff I wanted to see. Those sort of reactions.
Oh, go ahead, Spence.
I will put a highlight on going back to Dr. Ian Malkin, where he was mentioning this entire insane concept. He was like, so you just put your hand out and they listen to you? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, yes. Like,
and then
thank you.
His little, like, I feel like that kind of cynicism in that scene was everybody else's reaction. Like, yeah, when he's like, well, I had a dog once.
Used to hump my leg.
Yeah, got calluses on my shin. Like, that whole that scene was perfect. And I don't know if that was ad-libbed or that was, like, written in, but that was great for that particular scene. But was there anything else, Spence?
I'd absolutely argue that with Spencer. Like, of course, that's what I want to see. I want to see, like, somebody having a pet velociraptor and being like, you know, good girl, Blue. Thank you for eating that, that dog that kept barking on the other side of the fence. And then, you know, Karen coming out, did your raptor eat my Pomeranian? You know, I wanted to see those kind of interactions.
Mm. What about you, Tyler? Any other highlights or any issues that you found with the film other than what we talked about?
God, I feel like I need to say, like, Amy said some beautiful words. I did like a lot of the designs of...
Good.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the designs of some of these monstrous-looking dinosaurs. Patrice? Is that what we named her?
Beatrice.
With them nails.
Them nails, yeah. That thing was absolutely terrifying. Mm. I loved it.
She looked blind, too. That was the thing. Because silver of the eyes, and that's where I was, like, trying to figure out that I'm like, I think I have to do research about Beatrice and what she actually does.
So here's... I'm going to be completely frank with you guys. When I saw the movie, and that end scene happens where Beatrice and Rexy, which is the actual name of the T-Rex from the first film, when Rexy and Beatrice are fighting that, you know, gigabyte dinosaur.
The gigabyte. I'm okay with that name too.
And then
Gigamon.
And then Rexy pushes the dinosaur into Beatrice's claws and they go through. I'm not kidding. I died laughing in the theater. I laughed so loud, and I don't think anybody else, I don't care if anybody else heard me, but I laughed so hard because I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I have ever seen in a Jurassic film where a dinosaur pushes him into a Wolverine-like dinosaur and gets impaled by these probably not that strong claws. They're probably not that strong the way they make it seem, but it pierced through this massive apex predator right through his neck and his abdomen or his upper body. I literally laughed for about a good 5 minutes before I realized there was still more movie to be had.
Okay, so like when that happened for me, I just mentally looked at that and I was like, you can't do that. That's cheating. That's not how this works.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
That was his real reaction. Like, that wasn't a win for the T-Rex. That's not how you win a fight.
Hey, she can do whatever she wants, literally.
No, fight with your own power. You're working together. You both agree. Like, you don't just be like, I'm pushing them onto you.
You mean
move.
Like when Blue rode that other raptor, whatever, through the glass and straight down onto the horns of the other dino and impaled them too?
That seems to be a lot of impaling for dinosaurs. Do they not die from bullets?
They've learned that it's quicker.
I mean, don't you remember what Muldoon said? He said, clever girl. I mean, come on. They know.
Oh, yeah, and he had a shotgun.
Yes, he did.
What about you, Ames?
I've already said the thing that I wanted to applaud of this movie was basically the creative team, the makers and the
creative. I know, but if I didn't call you, you'd be upset and you would say in the middle of the podcast, I guess I don't get a turn, and then I would get in trouble.
You usually also bypass.
So I'm giving you a chance
here.
I said that piece.
The other thing I think I want to give ridiculous shout outs to is going to be the costume team, because some of these outfits you could not make up, especially their the Biosyn like lab suits where everybody looks like giant. They look like sperm.
Essentially, she's right.
They do. And
I would have said like colorless Among Us characters, but okay, sperm works too.
They didn't. It was funny. It was funny for me to be able to watch.
It almost looks like that one of the last room that they go into in the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory
with Mike TV. It's the Mike TV. It's
like
TV
everybody's
room.
Dressed the same. It's like, oh, and if you keep going past L4, you'll find the TV room. You know, and that's why the CEO is so kooky, because he's Willy Wonka. There we go. We figured it out. No, they're going to turn the dinosaurs into chocolate, and then he's going to sell Reptar bars. And then we figured
Reptar cereal, and there we have the answer.
This movie slowly driving us all insane?
We were already insane to begin with. This just made it worse. I think. So it's trying to find the shiniest of couple of turds in this pile. I've kind of already said what I found that I could highlight as a good thing. And I like to try to stay positive, and it's really difficult to. The other thing that is so ridiculous that I was trying really hard not to laugh out loud was the fire locust. When they decided he was going to stand there and watch all of the locusts catch on fire and be hanging out in the containment unit.
I mean,
they break out.
I'm not going to lie. It looked really cool, the effect of it. Yeah. But I'm like, how are they still alive, number one?
Exactly.
And where are they going?
Because
if that whole... So apparently all the dinosaurs had a neurotransmitter that would redirect them back. Like, wouldn't you think that would have also been something they should have put in those locusts, which would have kept them from continuously overeating or doing all the things that they were not wanting them to do?
I don't think they could do that, because don't real locusts repopulate too fast?
I guess. I don't
because,
know. Either
because
way, it,
Papa,
it was...
Because Grandpa Wong told us that, you know, they just...
In between his cries and sobs.
Yes, and showing video where also it seems like he was in love with what's-her-name? The clone's mom? like
Charlotte. I don't know if I was getting that from it. It seemed like all of a sudden his heart grew 3 times at some point in the past 4 years.
Suddenly, after he took the money and had all of the assets and realized,
and after all, like Tyler mentioned, all the people he's killed in the process too.
So. And it just so happens like
he's a clone.
Because every death that happened on Jurassic World in the second part was on him. Everybody who died in the second film from the dinosaurs is because of him, and now he grows a conscience.
I mean,
he was the most confusing character.
In the Pratterverse, on the first movie for the Pratterverse, he was so proud of himself and so excited to be continuing this work, and I'm like, this is a man-driven, results-driven man. He likes shiny things that can hurt him. Cool. We know who you are. And now it's like, I need to fix the locust, and we're like,
that's the locust.
Oh no.
All the things you've done?
No, all the things. Instead of like, okay, I'm going to work on having more of the herbivore population or balance so that we can live in harmony. Like, no, he's like the locust, my guys.
Guys, okay, so I was wrong before. He is not a clone. Locusts just bug him. What's up, Spencer? High five. Come on, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm going to.
I love a good pun. But like this movie, that was a dud. Hey!
So, one of the things I just wanted to really highlight was the only shining part about this movie that I would love to see continue was the reconnecting and development of Dr. Sadler and Dr. Grant's relationship.
Team Doctor.
I feel like that alone was worth following and seeing come to, like, because honestly, if every other story was diluted and you just had this focus on Dr. Grant and Dr. Sadler and we got to that ending the way it ended, I would be happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I would honestly enjoy the film a little bit more. I feel like they're just such great performers and their characters are so loved. Seeing that, honestly, was the only thing that made me smile at the end of the film. Everything else could get cut from the film.
I remember I have one more highlight. I want to give a shout out to Michael Giacchino, who was doing the composing for this movie.
He did it for the last two as well.
Yeah. Well, and he had really, really big shoes to fill because nobody can beat John Williams, hands down. But he had a way of kind of laying in some of the original compositions in the score, and it made it feel like there were smatterings of John Williams' blessing in the movie musically. Okay, there we go.
So, wrapping this up, before we round it up, I do want to go around the table. I do have a round table question.
Uh-oh.
And this is my question for you guys as fans of the original trilogy. I hope everybody here. And here's a question. If another film in the franchise was going to be created, don't say anything yet, Spencer. Because I hear your brain saying, nope.
I'm nope.
Which legacy character, dead or alive, would you like to see reappear? Since we've gotten I don't know if you know this, but in the first book, John Hammond, Ian Malcolm, and Muldoon, I believe, all die. Now in the
were brought back in the second book, by the way.
And were brought back because apparently Dr. Malcolm actually didn't die, he was just wounded. And that's how they kind of they do a misery thing. They wrap it up kind of like that. And so since that's something that's done in the films and books, who would you guys like to see reappear in the next film if another one was being created?
Team Doctors.
Three
of them.
No.
Just back for something else.
So you just, there's nobody else.
The dinosaurs. Bring in the dinosaurs.
I want to see them put John Hammond's consciousness in a
dinosaur.
Well, I want to be hyper specific because if we're going, we're back.
It's gonna be in an old Triceratops or something.
Oh gosh, is it gonna be able to talk?
You know what the promise was? You know why?
Wouldn't that be brilliant, Spencer? They can talk, and he's like, I've been communing with my dinosaur brethren, and we've got a plan to work together. And this is part of my, like, I'm going to go outlandish.
Is this David Attenborough or John Attenborough?
David.
David.
Yes. So, guys, I've been talking to Beatrice with the nails.
She said she really needs a manicure.
So, I think what I'm upset about is so this the last movie offered what I really wanted to see. And that's what would happen if a T-Rex fought four adult male lions. I think that's what I really... that's the Jurassic Park movie that
this
I need.
This is like a Las Vegas show here that we're seeing in the works.
It probably already was in
Chris
Las Vegas.
Angel presents. Just
well, remember, they also tell him that the T-Rex had just shown up, so you don't know where Rexy has been and who she's been fighting.
Well, the original Rexy died, but either way.
I still want to see... that's what I want to see. So if they do proceed with this... they need to take out all the human characters that matter. Humans should only be for scale and chomp chomps. And then, you know, I want to see what happens if a pack of lions fights a T-Rex.
So here's the thing.
You just
any
want to watch the Predators.
Human legacy character.
How about you, Eddie?
Honestly, yeah. Mine was legacy evolving.
I like yours.
So was mine.
Well, yours were already in the film. Like,
yeah,
obviously, they're going to come back.
I want to see them again.
He wants to check on how they're doing on the dig or wherever they're going, you know, because they're going together.
Like, honestly, I would like to see one of two characters. I would either like to see Billy from the third film.
Oh, my God.
The little boy.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he seemed resourceful, and I'm like...
that is true.
Yeah, like, he did survive 8 months.
Like, it seemed like Billy was so smart that those couldn't possibly have been his parents in that movie.
Exactly, 100%.
Oh, boy.
I would have liked to see Billy come back, or in like fashion with Dr. Malcolm... I want to see Muldoon brought back.
Yeah.
And I feel like him and, like, I feel like if they bring back Chris Pratt or some form of another raptor specialist, I feel like they would butt heads and Muldoon would just take him out because he's, like, older and more grizzled and he's got, like, scars from the attack. That's who I would like to see. Just spitballing here. But what about you guys? Obviously, Amy, you got the AI, Hammond.
AI. I'm saying he is literally, his consciousness has been placed inside of a dinosaur, pending upon, would probably go with an herbivore for safety purposes. And then, you know, we have
all of his planet Earth, you know, special is just, you know.
Yeah, and then he's able to commune with
the
dinosaurs.
Do you know that when the dinosaurs...
and he finally gets his seat at the UN, and he's the representative for the dinosaur nation, and then it just, you know, it snowballs. It snowballs, and suddenly now they are sovereign people, and we can't murder them, and then we have problems, and then there's a world war dinosaur. So either way, I shake this
down.
That
was beautiful. That was absolutely beautiful. I love that idea.
The track is so long. I'm sorry, Spencer.
I have many questions about that.
We could talk about that.
The Lost World. Who was the hunter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that zaps the dinosaur? No,
no,
Ludlow.
No.
Ludlow? I thought it was Ludlow, because that's the...
No.
Stop knowing me.
Well, then listen.
You're clicking.
Because Ludlow was the name of the nephew, the one who was taking over Injun. I know who you're talking about.
Yes, the hunter. The guy who went for the T-Rex.
Roland Tembo. Yeah, they call him Roland, though.
All right.
The bald guy whose whole purpose was just to get himself a T-Rex.
All right. I want to either see him in a movie.
Because he's not dead. That's right.
Yes. Where he's just hunting down all the dinosaurs. He's gone either berserk insane and he's now hunting all the dinosaurs.
That's
a
good one.
I want them to bring back that super velociraptor and put his brain into the super velociraptor.
Oh, now you ruined it.
No,
oh, my God.
No, I'm going full Amy thing. I love that idea.
But in the super velociraptor, he's going to be murdering everybody. And then
absolutely.
You guys, so here's the problem.
Mine was for peace, and then it just, you know, evaporated once.
There's always going to be an opposing side, Amy.
I know, but mine was like...
I was hoping, like, for some sense of realism. You guys are going, like, fast and furious.
Did you watch
over
the
here.
Same movie
in
we watched?
In the one following, they're going to be in space, and they're going to be like, there's dinosaurs that made it to space because now they can breathe.
No, absolutely. Roland would be my guy to bring back. He's not dead. Mm-hmm. He is the hunter. If you're going to be on a planet full of dinosaurs and he's already gone after a few of them, he's the guy to call.
Spencer, you're sticking with your...
I'm sticking on mine.
Okay.
Unless you want to bring Samuel L. back for something.
I mean, you could. He's just missing one arm.
Yeah, that's true.
Seriously, all we found was just one arm.
Oh, wait a second. That means all that's left of him, right, is one arm. I thought the raptors ate everything else.
No, all that was found was one arm.
Which means he could have...
Which means that could have been torn off, and he could have gotten away, tourniquet, made it out of there.
Mm. They found that can of Barbasol.
I mean, B.D. Wong and the rest of the people left at some point in time on a boat. Maybe he found another boat and got away. Maybe he's living off on some island with Selma Hayek, and now he's an assassin for hire. Wrapping this whole thing up, let's go ahead and go around the table. Let's talk whether the film passes or fails, and how many monocles. And let's start with Amy, and let's be quick.
this film fails. I love dinosaurs. I love the opportunity to explore and see what we are learning about the planet that was here before we showed up. And this movie does a little bit of that, and then you get hit in the Predaverse. Yay, Team Doctor. If you're going for nostalgia vibes, there's not enough to save this boat.
Yeah.
Please make sure that you exit the film before you try to get too invested. And as my good friend Spencer always says, trailers lie. This is getting a 1.5 out of 5 monocles for me. And that is simply because of these creative teams that did all that hard work. Spencer!
So, I'm going to fail the movie.
That was a long sigh. Dang.
Yeah, because that's really the mood of the
movie. I can literally look at the audio track that's being recorded, and there's a whole just...
Like, if you have not seen this movie, that sigh is how Chris Pratt feels during this movie.
Mm. It's how he's acting.
As he collects his paycheck.
Yeah, like, honestly, Team Doctors, they're doing the best. Like, I like their story. It's a good story, like, but... Like, just being so back and forth between these two competing groups, it's kind of a lot to deal with, and I feel like the story would work better if it was a bit more focused on, like, you know, okay, yeah, you start off with, like, separate groups, but, like, you bring them together way more quickly than what the movie did.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, like, nice seeing returning characters from the original series. Yeah, we could drop Chris Pratt. That's fine. Keep Bryce Dallas Howard. Like, she's doing great. But other than that, yeah, the movie was okay. So, like, I'll give it a 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Tyler. Does the film pass or fail, and how many monocles?
Boy, it failed. We need so many more dinosaurs. Just so many more dinosaurs. This little table came up with way more ideas than I feel like what they had going.
It's true.
It's
very true.
Yeah, Amy and I hit some imaginary places, but, you know, you guys got some good stuff going in there. It fails. 2 monocles from me. If you're going to call something... If you're going to call a movie by something, don't make the main focus the humans of it. You know, if it's, you know, Transformers, if it's if it's sharks, if it's anything.
Transformers, see Sam Witwicky in his new home.
Millennial. Especially, you know, you're going to call it Jurassic Park. You have dinosaurs in there. Then you tell us that they're all over the planet. Show us how does a dinosaur survive a tornado? I want to see that.
Very true. That would be interesting. And mind you, there are, like, a lot of little short films that have came out, but none of them really do any justice to the overall story that we got with this. So that's unfortunate.
2 monocles. You know, if when this comes out on HBO Max or something, check it out then.
There you go. As far as for myself, the film does fail. The story, like I said, was all over the place. There are too many plot threads that are trying to be the main story, and unfortunately they just fall apart by the time they converge. So there's no care or concern for anybody, honestly, to make it out, because it doesn't seem like there are no stakes. The dinosaurs are scary at certain points, but not scary enough to where somebody is actually in mortal danger, I don't feel.
Yeah.
Even when there seems to be a point where Macy might even actually die, that just is like a moot point as well.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of monocles, oh my God. Here's the problem. I love this franchise so much, and I love everything that has made it out of that original trilogy, even that third film, you know, Alan. I feel like there are points in that particular film that really do highlight the fun that we have in this movie. However, when it comes to this sequel trilogy and where it's just been going downhill with, I'm probably going to have to give this film a 2, just based on, number one, for the original doctors, and 2, for the creature design and the effects work. Everything else, the story, all that can just boo-boo. I don't really care for it. I don't really want to see it, so yeah. But that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlosophers. Remember, you can check us out on our website at filmlosophers.com. There we got everything from... We got over 300 episodes, allegedly. We have everything from action, anime, romance, comedy, discussions, anything that you're looking for in terms of movies, we got it. Check us out at our website, filmlosophers.com. Also, you can check us out on any place where podcasts are streaming, either Google Play, Libsyn, iTunes, Player FM, Audio Boom, Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn. You can tune into each and every one of those places. Find us there. Subscribe at The Film Philosophers. And if you're feeling generous, give us a 5-star review. We've earned it. You can also check us out on our socials at facebook.com/filmphilosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmphilosophy101. We got some great things in store coming up. We have a trivia morning coming up on the 18th of next Saturday for the Sacramento area. If you're looking to join us,
happy birthday, Tyler.
Happy birthday, Tyler, on the 18th as well, but you're working.
sad. I hate
hey, man's got to eat, right? Man's
yep.
Gotta, but we got a great trivia night in store. Head on over to There and Back Cafe and Games on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can get all the details there. We'll repost them on our page as well. And if you get a chance, RSVP for the event. Come on down. We're going to have a great time. It's all going to be themed around Saturday morning cartoons, and you're not going to want to miss it. So it's going to be exciting. Amy, where can people find Jane Unseen?
You can find, well, if you're looking for Jane Unseen, the only place that it's ever tended to live and still has not been updated is at Jane Unseen on Instagram, because there's nothing else over there. If you are looking for me in general, please don't. you can hear me here, and that'll be grand. And the other thing I wanted to actually mention is happy Father's Day to all the fathers if we don't give you a shout out, because Father's Day is on the 19th.
That's true. That's true.
Dum, dum, dum.
So that about wraps up another awesome episode. Thanks for listening. And from all of us here at the Film Philosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
I'm intern Amy.
Tyler.
Class dismissed.